We're doing a series on people in the Bible, and I just want to talk to you about a couple people. And we're going to do, and then I'm going to bring Peter and Yesenia up. We're sort of going to do this together as a threesome, okay? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, first five verses. Now, one of the problems I have with, it's not a problem, let me reword that. I think, you know, you if you buy a Bible, typically what you'll see in the Bible is it's broken down into a book. Well, we need the, you know, we have the books, but then chapters. But then we have the publishers of those Bibles have put headings at different passages. As a result, that what that does right away is it causes us or forces us to read it from that perspective. And sometimes you miss other stories within that story. It'd be nice to just have a Bible with no headings and just read it and see what crops up. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the story of Naaman. And a lot of, if you're churched, you've heard the story of Naaman. He was a commander of the Aramean army. I want to read to you the first five verses. It says, "The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army." That's like the chief of the military, right? That's like the head general. Because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. And at this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. And one day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." And when you read that passage through the lens of this is the story of Naaman, what happens is you miss two other people. We don't know their names, but you miss two other people that are very pivotal in that story that you never hear about. And you know who that is? It says there, "At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl," "who became a maid of Naaman's wife." Young girl, don't know, maybe age 10. So you can imagine this situation. Another country has invaded Canada. They take the best, right, over to their country. And maybe it's been, you know, it's you that's been taken captive. And you've been removed from your family. And you've been made a maid in Naaman's household. That's what's gone on. And look what that little girl said. "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." That was the chief of staff. That was the chief of the military. What she said there was just profound. Little girl. But that's that one girl. We don't know her name. Never will know her name. We don't know who it is. God does. We don't. We don't have a clue. You know who the other one is? Figure it out. Any guesses? Nope. You know who it is? I read that and I go, so where did she come? Like, what home did she come from? Well, who were her teachers? Like, who were her instructors? Because her thing was, like, first of all, her expression, "I wish my master," there's compassion there for him. She sees that he has leprosy. She sees that he suffers. And she has great compassion. But someone has taught her about God. Someone has instilled that in her. Someone has done that. It just didn't happen. Someone spoke to her, whether it's her parents or uncle or whoever, I don't know. But someone did. You go, wow. They had no idea when they were teaching her either that she was going to one day be speaking to the chief commander of the military of the king of Aram. They had no idea. No idea. Amazing story there. Amazing story. And I want to segue with that to bring Peter and Yesenia up. And you bringing Emmanuel up with you? Are you? Cool. And because their mission down in Nicaragua is with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it's teaching kids, teaching boys and girls about God. And it's so easy to go, oh, that's no big deal. Say, that's no big deal. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. So we want to welcome you guys here. Great to have you. Oh, one other thing. Out there is Peter's father, Peter's dad, and he's selling coffee today. They sell great coffee. And so buy some if you like coffee. Okay? So there you go. Okay, Peter.
Good morning. We would like to thank Pastor Scott and the congregation for allowing us to come and speak this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all your prayers and for our work. Without you, we wouldn't be able to continue what we're doing with the children in Nicaragua. And also Bruce and Helen and my dad as well, who's selling coffee, which helps the ministry as well. The second last time Bruce and Helen had said to me and mentioned to me, it would be really good if your wife came sometime and talked to the congregation, and so that they can see her face and get to know her as well. So for that reason, Yesenia's come, and my son, Emmanuel, and we're trusting that God's going to be using him as well in the future. So I'm going to pass it over to Yesenia. Thanks again for all your prayers and your support. And she's going to let you know a little bit more about what we do and who we are as CEF.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Buenos dias. Good morning. It is a blessing to be here with you today and to share a little bit of what the Lord is doing in Nicaragua. As Peter explained to you and also Pastor Scott, we serve in Nicaragua through Child Evangelism Fellowship. And Child Evangelism Fellowship is a worldwide organization, and it is located in more than 180 countries. And for 2020, we are aiming to reach all the nations, 200 nations at least, with the Word of God. So the purpose of Child Evangelism Fellowship is, first of all, to reach the kids with the Word of God. Second, to disciple them so that they can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and establish them in a local Bible Center church for Christian growth. And maybe you are wondering, why is it important to reach children for Christ? First of all, children nowadays are getting into a very dangerous world. In my country, and this is especially my country, children are forced to beg on the streets by their parents at a very early age. Some of them fall into prostitution. Also, kids are being rented. You can see here, maybe you are saying, these are the parents of the child. They are not really the parents of the child. They have rented the child, and they go, when you're driving on the streets of Managua, They go to your windows, they knock on your windows, they show the face of the child, and they beg for money. Sometimes they stand with the child under the sun for the whole day without giving them food. Another thing that is going on there also is kids, boys and girls, are forced to work. Most of them don't go to school. So what we're trying to do in Nicaragua is to bring hope to the kids. Child of Evangelism Fellowship of Nicaragua started to work in 1990, and since then we are continuously teaching the Word of God to the kids. And we do it through different programs. One of them is our feeding station. The feeding station is a program that we started in 2004. And in 2005, we started a second feeding station. The idea is to feed the children not only with the Word of God, but especially also to give them food. And with that, we help them with the special needs like medicines. It's one of the things we do. Also, uniforms and school supplies, food boxes for those single mothers who cannot afford to give food to their kids. Now we are having a baking school, and maybe you're wondering, this is nothing new. It's nothing new, really, but we have to teach people skills so that they can make a living. And we are training the girls in the feeding station not only to depend on the food that we're giving them, but if we teach them that they need to know how to work, that's something very important. So that's what we're teaching them baking in the baking school. And we have a scholarship program going on where for $10 a month, you can help a child to go to school for the whole school year. And is something important for them to wear a uniform, because it gives them a sense of belonging, a sense of being, of dignity. That's what it is, really. And we are trying to encourage the kids to go to school, because at the end of the first semester, most of the time, they drop school. So that's why we are doing this. Evangelism is our main focus, and we do it through different things. One of them is evangelism in the public schools. Also, training courses for teachers, because the Lord Jesus sent us to multiply ourselves. Otherwise, the gospel is going to die if we don't continue spreading the word of God. Children's rallies and puppet presentations are also some of our programs. And you can see lots of children. They come from the different communities, and we work mainly through the local churches. Missionary projects are trips that we do, and especially those trips are for going to rural areas and train the teachers to continue the vision of reaching the kids for Christ. This is one of them that we did. We did a trip to Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And those kids have AIDS. They look healthy, but they have AIDS. And sometimes they don't have medical attention or anything. They need the Lord Jesus desperately. That's why it's very important to give them the Word of God. And since it is very, very difficult right now to get into the schools, because in our country, as you know, now we are not communist, but we are socialist. So they are trying to include New Age into the school system, and they are not allowing the gospel to get into the school system anymore. They want Jesus out of the schools. So it's getting very, very difficult for us all the time to get into the schools. So what we need to do in a strategy, and the strategy is to train and equip children to enable them to share the good news of salvation with others. That's the Children with Vision program. And we train children at the very early age of 7 so that they can also reach others for Christ. And it's very successful. 5-day Bible clubs, these are different programs. This Meet the King program is a new program that we have, and it is mainly for the schools sometimes there are some teachers and principals that say, Peter and Yesenia, could you come to the school and please tell the kids about the Lord Jesus? We go there, we had the opportunity to go to a school with 800 kids where all these kids never heard about the Lord Jesus. And seem to see most of them, half of them, coming to the Lord. And it is important, maybe you are saying, but why is it important to reach the kids at a very early age? In Psalm 78, the Lord says that he doesn't want them to forget the praises, to forget to praise him, and to forget the wonders that he has done in their favor. And now kids are walking away, and they are forgetting about the Lord. They said, I don't need the Lord anymore in my life. And we are facing the times when the word of God was being missed. It's like the priest. The priest wasn't teaching Samuel the word of God. It says the word of God is being missed. It's lacking. Parents don't talk to their children about God. Parents don't want their children to, they want their children to be great singers. They want their children to be great ballet dancers or, you know, to have a very successful life. But what about eternity? Where your children are going to end? They can end in drugs. And sometimes the world is working the other way around because they say, oh, we can go to prisons and preach the word of God. But it's too late. Why don't you prevent the kids from going into prison? Why don't you do it that way? So that they don't forget about praising the Lord and don't forget about his wonders. That's very important nowadays. That's why every day our heart, you know, is every morning that we wake up, Lord, what's next? What do we need to do? What are the strategies we need to find so that we can reach more kids for Christ? And this Meet the King program is a great strategy. We were given last year the challenge of reaching 100,000 kids. Because we have to grow 50% every year, and that's what we are doing. And so far, with the Meet the King program, which is a booklet that teaches the story of the Lord Jesus from his birth to ascension, and we give them, if you give a tract to a person, the person can either choose it to read it or to put it in the garbage. But if we tell the story to the kids, at the end, when they get the booklet, they say, oh, this is what the teacher was talking about. And that's a neat thing. And then we ask them, if you don't want to read it anymore, give it to someone else. And they do it. That's the way the word of God is passing through hands to hands and being spread. You know, and the Lord uses whatever tools. He says that we don't want to speak, the stones will speak for us. And that's the way the Lord is using this. So Child Evangelism Fellowship is in Nicaragua is reaching 39,000 kids a year. That's what we reached last year with the help of volunteers and our staff also, and through the teachers who have been trained. And we hope, please, that you continue praying for us, because you can say, so many people take for granted, you know, that we are teaching kids. They are not very important. That's what people say. Maybe at the age of 12, they can decide what they want to do, but it's too late. It's too late. So it's very important to start at a very early age. And to finish, I'm going to tell you just a testimony of the results of the work that we are doing. We have a boy. He is 16 years old. And this boy is from one of our feeding stations. His name is Guillermo. At the age of 13, he came to the feeding station when he was 6 years old. At the age of 13, he approached our staff in the feeding station and he said, "Can I help you guys? Is there any way I can volunteer in your ministry?" And we said, "Yes, you can volunteer with us." He said, "I want you to teach me how to lead others to Christ. Because you guys invested time in me so that I came to Christ, and I want to do that with others too." So we taught him that, and he was helping us in the schools full time. And his father forced him to work in construction at the age of 11. And he was, you can be, if you see him, he's a very big guy. And he's very big because of the big sacks of cement and stones that he has to pick every time. But his heart is with the Lord. He said, "I want to please the Lord and I want to lead others to Christ." And you know, we can see right there that the Lord is doing something in the life of the children. It's like, see, this is the result of the work that you guys are doing. So it is worth while to invest in the children. It is very important to lead them to Christ so that they can be consecrated and they can be a new generation, a generation that will continue praising the Lord. And it would be very special when they say, "There is my teacher. This is the people from Vineyard Community who led me to Christ." So thank you very much. And I want especially to thank you for buying the coffee. The coffee is very important for us because it helps us to raise support in the ministry. Like we want your prayers also for our staff because we need to raise support for our staff and for the different programs that we have in CEF Nicaragua. And you know, if sometimes you would like to come down to Nicaragua in a missions trip and experience, you know, what it is to lead a child to Christ in that nation, you are welcome to come, either by yourself or with a team. So thank you, Pastor Scott. And thank you very much for your attention. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Jesenia. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. Did you want to close off with, did you want to, like, I want to wrap things up, but, like, but did you want to say something else, Peter? No? No? Did you hear everything your wife said? Awesome speaker. Very good. Very good. Very good. So the story that you told, Jesenia, the boy's name is Guillermo? Guillermo. You don't know the type of impact he may have. You see, that story from that I read to you from 2 Kings, the people who were instructing that young girl, teaching her, had no idea that one day she would be working in the household of the chief of the military for the nation of Aram, the Arameans, and they had no idea. And as a result of that young girl who was able to say to Naaman's wife, "I wish he would go. See, there's a prophet in Israel." And then if you know the rest of that story, it wasn't all about the prophet. The prophet only had one message, and it's about God who can heal. Anyway, that's the importance of why we teach kids. That's the importance of why we do missions. It has nothing to do with political boundaries. It has nothing to do with, you know, our different ethnicities or races or anything like that. They're people that need to hear about Jesus, because you never know how God, and God uses people in just in ways we would never expect. So very encouraging what you guys shared. Very encouraging, and we thank you. We'd like to pray for you, okay? And you know what I'm thinking of is, here, let's try this, okay? So, Jesenia, if you could come up here with Peter. And then if we could have some folks gather around them. But this is what I would like us to do, because sometimes it can be a prayer huddle, and it can feel like if you're sitting there, you're left out. You know how at times we'll weave a prayer together just because we'll different people will say maybe a couple sentence prayers? But I'd like them to, I'd like to bless them, encourage them with what the work they're doing. How long have you been at this now?
12 years.
That's faithfulness, right? That's perseverance, because I'm sure it's not easy all the time. What are there specific needs that you guys have?
To keep going, of course, you always need to finance or to provide for the programs and the workers that we have, and as well as to keep things running smoothly. So that is one of our biggest needs, but prayer is the most important thing for us in the ministry and God's guidance.
CEF doesn't pay you a salary, right? No. And do they cover your materials for your ministry in that, and for going into the schools, they cover that, do they? Okay.
They provide the materials.
Okay.
The CEF prints the material. They print the material for the courses that we give. Everything we need to teach, they print, and they give to the CEF people in different parts of the world. But each worker needs to raise their own support. So CEF doesn't pay salaries. They believe in raising support for each worker. And that's a challenge for the workers in Nicaragua, because not a lot of pastors believe in missions there anyway, or are very strong in that, because of the needs down there.
Okay, so we can definitely be praying for you guys. So if I could have some people, if missions is really on your heart, or what they've said, if that's really spoken to you, if I could have just some folks just gather around them, we'd like to be able to just lay hands on you guys. And then I'd like us as a body. So maybe it's just, it's a one-sentence prayer you pray out loud. You pray out loud, okay? You can come up, say anybody can come over here as well on this other side if you want. Okay. So Father, right now my prayer is that you would begin, Holy Spirit, to just speak to different people who are, either standing or sitting. And Lord, if there's a prayer that you want them to pray, would you put the words in their heart right now? And Lord, we do thank you for Peter and Jasenia and Emmanuel. Thank you for the work they're doing. So just as if the Holy Spirit's leading you to say something, pray it now.